This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, we'll look at changes at the UC Police Department in light of the Sam DeBose shooting death. First up this afternoon, 5 years ago, Rachel DeRocher started her business Grateful Grams out of her home as a way to show her daughter that she could fulfill her dreams while still being a stay-at-home mom. Today, her handmade vegan treats and her message of gratitude can now be found in more than 50 outlets nationwide. And in 2013, Rachel started the Northern Kentucky Incubator Kitchen, a place for entrepreneurs to get their small food companies up and running while providing support to each other. Grateful Grams and Northern Kentucky Incubator Kitchen owner Rachel DeRochers joins us, along with Patrick McGilvray, owner of Focus 5 Design and branding designer for Grateful Grams, and Algis Akostolis, owner of Skinny Pig Kombucha, one of the businesses operating in the Northern Kentucky Incubator Kitchen. And you can join our conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Rachel, Patrick, and Algis, thanks for being here this afternoon.
Thanks so much for having us.
Okay, Rachel, I'm going to put one of your Grateful Grams to the test. I have you were nice enough to bring these to me, so I'm going to try one of these.
The pressure's on.
Pressure's on.
We're not your granny's Grams.
No, you're not. I like that.
Thanks.
That's very, very good. And it makes me feel, it improves my mood a lot.
Absolutely, right? You just feel really grateful now. And
Now, do I feel more grateful? Is that one of the intended consequences of this
graham cracker? Absolutely,
yeah. It's very good.
Thanks.
So what are some of the outlets that are selling Grateful Grams?
Oh, man. We have a store out in California called Viva La Vegan. They're the largest vegan grocer in the country. Some of our biggest customers in town, Whole Foods, Park and Vine, they've been carrying us. Danny put us in the store when we started 5 years ago. We're at Remke Markets, tons of coffee shops, Left Bank, Roebling Point Books.
So why vegan, though? Why did you go that route?
Well, one, it tasted better. You know, when I was doing some baking and testing, we made it both ways. But the emotional meaning is just a little nod to my dad.
While you're talking, I'm going to have another bite.
Yeah, please. It was a little nod to my dad, who adapted a vegan diet after his battle with cancer. He is alive and well and amazing. So it was just a little, yay, dad, you made it for him.
Okay. How surprised are you at how Grateful Grams have taken off? If at all. I mean, did this success surprise you?
Yes and no. I say no because when I started the company, I'm a dreamer and I love big visions. And so when I started, people would say, well, what's your idea for this? And I said, well, I'm going to be all over the country. Oprah's going to know about us, you know? Why not? And I said to somebody the other day, I said, you know, if I didn't have that vision 5 years ago, I sure as heck would not have it right now when the work is, I mean, it's a lot of work, right? It's hard. It's really amazing. And all of a sudden this week, it's just happening. Our story, we just had a segment and it's airing national and it's just, that wows me. So. Yeah.
When you first came up with this idea, what did your family think of this?
Oh, my sweet husband, I called him at work and I said, honey, I'm going to start this graham cracker company. And he said, of course you are. And so, you know, my kids my daughter was 5 months old. I have three kids. Camden will be 14 next month. Rosie is 5 and Ellis is 4. So my littles grew up in it. That's what they know. They know how to deliver grams. They know how to go to the farmer's market and talk about our flavors. And they know what gratitude means.
So how important is the whole gratitude thing, the whole grateful aspect of Grateful Grams? How seriously do you take that?
Super serious. For me, it's what drives it. It's our tool. I look at it as marketing, right? So I have this message that immediately gives me a connection with people. So when we're sampling at a market, when we're doing grocery stores, talking to our customers, instead of saying, hey, here's another sweet treat for you to try, I can say, hey, tell me what you're grateful for. And an immediate connection, this personal feeling, that feeling that makes you feel really good is made. And then they get to eat a really good treat with it. It's a bonus.
Patrick, how important has the whole attitude of gratitude thing been to this product?
Oh, I think it's been everything for Rachel. She's got an amazing product and she's really good at telling people her story. And so many small business owners kind of bypass that part of their brand They might have a great product or a great service to offer, but their story isn't quite right. Rachel starts out with a great story. And all I did for her was I helped her to, you know, flesh that out and get focus around that story and put that sort of front and center. So, you know, we've done some things to take her story and her message of gratitude and create a movement, right, around
Absolutely.
That. And the way we do that is, one of the ways we do that is we're actually putting a message on labels.
That's so cool.
That we asked, we did a poll, we asked people what they were grateful for. You know,
our customers responded and we said, we're going to pick 10 and put them on the back of our bags. And what Patrick, when we talk a lot, Patrick, I had a business. I had a great business. Patrick helped me develop a brand. And to me, that shifted how I thought about what I was doing and the true impact that we have or can have in this very moment, in this city, in this community, in this region, across the nation, when you can flush it out and make all the pieces. I had all the pieces of the puzzle. He helped me put my puzzle together, which is huge.
Patrick, she has a great story. What are some of the other things that Rachel's done right that have made this a success?
Rachel is a connector and she is an instigator. And I mean that in a good way. She's really good at getting her message out there. She's really good at talking to people. She is, does a really good job with all the social media outlets. But she's really good at just telling this consistent story and this consistent message. She's never wavered from that from the very beginning. And that is a way that is something that she does that a lot of people can really connect to. She makes these emotional connections with people. She builds real relationships with people. And that's the difference between a brand that is awesome and a brand that is just okay.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. And August, let's get you into the conversation here. You're part of the Northern Kentucky Incubator Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to ask you, what is kombucha?
Kombucha.
And I still have a problem saying that. Kombucha. You say it so much better.
You got to say it from the diaphragm. Kombucha.
Okay. Well, what is it?
So, in short, it's fermented tea. If that kind of turns you off, think of a cider, but replace apples with tea. And that's what you have. It's kind of a tart, fizzy drink. Ours is non-alcoholic, and it's got a lot of live cultures in it. I love drinking it in the morning after work. Middle of the day, anytime.
Yeah. So what got you started on developing this?
So, I'm a home brewer at heart. About 10 years ago, I started brewing beer in college. And as every home brewer, I'm obligated to dream of opening a brewery. And, when I was finishing, grad school, my wife brings back this bottle from Whole Foods, kombucha. I don't know what it is.
Kombucha.
I don't know. And I try it and I'm like, this is cool. I love it. I want to try making it. And then when I was done with school, I had a bunch of free time open up and I'm like, you know what? This is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to brew this, and I'm going to make people love it. And so far people are loving it.
So you went from beer to kombucha.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world do you go from beer to that?
Well, it's, I'm a fermentation fiend. I've fermented a bunch of things, rye bread.
Okay. Keep going. This is interesting.
Let's see. One time Kool-Aid. I tried fermenting that.
You can ferment Kool-Aid or did that fail?
Well, I fermented it. I can't say that I didn't fail. I don't know how drinkable it was.
And he makes some really great mocktails and cocktails. I think that's a super fun bonus with your product.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of things that you can do with kombucha. It can be an alternative to beer if you don't want to have alcohol, because it still has that mature mouth feel. But you can also mix it with a bunch of things to turn it into a mocktail. So you can still party without the hangover.
Okay, that sounds good, actually. So how did you two meet up? How did you and Rachel end up?
So One of the great things about Rachel's Northern Kentucky Incubator Kitchen is that it allows somebody with a big dream, but small means to accomplish something. And at the time, I was working a full-time job and just done with grad school, so obviously no money in my pockets. So it allowed me to continue working at my job and start my business very small. I asked around, where can I find a commercial kitchen to make my product? And everyone's like, you got to go to Rachel.
Yay.
And so, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to go find Rachel. And, luckily she was just incredibly supportive, and helped me build my business to where it is today.
And Rachel, when Algus comes along and says, I have this stuff called kombucha, and you're going, huh? What did you think when he first approached you?
Well, I was one of those oddballs that knew what it was. My husband actually has brewed it at home. But so I was like, heck yeah, let's do it. Let's get you in here. I love the incubator kitchen. I want to help the people if I can. And you're exactly right. It's that I have this idea, but I don't know if it's going to work. We've had businesses move in and close within 3 months. We've had businesses incubate out. Whirlybird Granola incubated out. Skinny Pig Kombucha, and I think that was one of the reasons today, is he's on his way out the door. And what that happens then is that new companies can come in. We have about 10 companies in there right now that rent space from us. And they all have different ideas. They all have what they want for their business. Some are really big ideas. Some are just, they just want to have a space to create this one single recipe. It's a community. You know, my vision for the incubator was, can we bring people together? Recipes are those kind of guarded things, right? Like, this is my recipe. For me, it's breaking that down to say, hey, wait a second. We have 10 people in here talking about 10 different companies. That's marketing, right? Like, that is us all coming together and working for each other and working with each other as a team, because we can change the way food is produced in our region. I took the basement of a senior services and created this amazing space with it, right? It's that hidden gem. We can do that as people. That is really amazing. That's what I love about it.
What was the idea of being grateful and wanting to give back? Did that play a big part in creating the incubator?
Yeah. You know, when we have conversations, Patrick and I talk about it all the time, I say, it's not about me. It's about this. It's being in this room right now to share our story and to say, hey, if we all can come together and talk about the good that we can do, if we have an opportunity to do good in our world, why are we not doing it? Right. And for me, it is spreading the message of gratitude. It's that when you're stuck in traffic on your way to work, or you spill coffee on your clean pants, or whatever it is, do you get really frustrated, or do you just say, man, I have clean pants hanging in the closet. I'm grateful for that, right? Like, I'll take those extra 5 minutes on my way to work this morning stuck in traffic. It's okay. Yeah.
We'll continue our discussion about baking with an attitude of gratitude, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. My guests this afternoon, Grateful Grams and Northern Kentucky Incubator Kitchen owner Rachel DeRochers, along with Patrick McGilvray, owner of Focus 5 Design and branding designer for Grateful Grams, and Algus Akostolis, owner of Skinny Pig. Here we go, Alex. Kombucha. Did I get it right this time?
You got it.
Okay. One of the businesses that's operating in the Northern Kentucky Incubator Kitchen, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Patrick, when a business is getting started up, how important is an environment like the incubator for that business's success?
Oh, what Rachel is doing with that incubator kitchen is amazing. I think it's extremely important to have that environment where you're working alongside other people that are doing what you're doing and maybe have a little bit more experience than you do. It can be incredibly helpful. You know, I think Rachel is really good. She wouldn't say this about herself, but she mentors a lot of people, and she really helps get them started and gives them so much information. She gives a lot of what she knows away. I don't think you would say that about yourself, but it's true. And to have people in this community, and Rachel's so much about the community, I think it's you know, priceless, really.
Is this incubator the only food incubator that's in town?
Yeah, Findlay Market is actually slated to open at the end of the year, and the city needs it. We need it. We need to create these spaces, these hubs for producers. And I think when we look at it, you know, food, we all love to eat, right? But a lot of time and energy is spent in the tech world, and we love it. Who doesn't have their, you know, phone in their hand at all times? But if we can pull our resources together around the food, the community, feeding the people, doing good. And Patrick is so right. We have and such an incredible knowledge in the incubator. You know, new companies, I meet with probably 2 to 3 new companies a week just to talk to them about their business and getting started. And it's up to them how much they ask the questions, but for them to realize that they have 11 companies in there that all operate a little bit differently and to pull a nugget from each company, that's an invaluable resource to our city, period.
You almost didn't. It's in the Senior Services Center, right? You yeah. almost didn't take that spot, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, I actually looked at it, and the interim director, Ken Recton, was I went and looked at it. I was ready to move into my own space. It was huge. And I said, Ken, it's too big. I can't afford this, right? And he said, well, I don't know. What can you pay? And, you know, I'm a business, small business owner, so I very lowballed him. And he goes, all right, Rachel, come back when, you know. So we've actually moved into a 1,000 square foot facility on Pike Street. I was really happy. I actually moved my business from Cincinnati to Covington at this point. And we outgrew. And when I was in that 1,000 square feet, I actually rented to a few other small businesses. But we outgrew. Grateful Grams had outgrown our very own kitchen within 6 months. So I called Ken back, right? And I said, Ken, here is my idea. You need me, because he did. His space was still sitting empty, and I need you. So how can we work together? And I said, here's my vision. I want to take your space. I want to put my business inside of it. And then I want to create a branded space for our community called the Northern Tech Incubator Kitchen. And we're going to get small businesses in here and growing. And that's where we are. We'll be 2 years old, the incubator, next month.
So, August, did I understand correctly you're moving on from the incubator?
Yeah, I'll miss the community at the Northern Kentucky Incubator Kitchen, but unfortunately, or fortunately for me.
Fortunately, that's a good sign,
yeah,
actually.
So we landed a couple of large deals, and in order to produce all of that kombucha, we'll definitely have to get our own space. We'll be getting 4 large fermentation tanks. I'd love to squeeze them into the kitchen, but we'll be
even as big as it is. There just isn't room, is it?
There just isn't any room, yeah. So we'll just have to find our own little nook.
And that's what you want. I want these guys to outgrow our space. We have Babushka Pierogies is in there right now, and what's great. So I will say what's been really awesome and to bring in the branding piece is that when you have somebody that you really trust and that you can work with, i.e. Patrick, who's done that for us, I've been able to say, hey, can you help these guys? So Patrick, you've actually started working with a few of the companies now in mm-hmm. in the facility. But Babushka Pierogies, Delish Dish is in there. We have Evergreen, who makes a zucchini bread. We have Russo's Raviolis, and we have a new donut company that just moved in. I'm so excited for them to eat their donuts. So, yeah, there's all kinds of stuff, all kinds of great food.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Let's talk with Bethany in Mount Adams. Hi, Bethany.
Hi. I have a question. So being in the Midwest, how well do you think that a vegan restaurant would go over in a town such as Cincinnati?
Okay, Bethany, thank you very much.
That is a great question. And as someone who would partake in a vegan restaurant in Cincinnati, I think it would go over very well. There's been a shift in the last couple of years to a healthier diet, despite the bacon craze that you see out there. But there's plenty of people out there that want to go out to eat and eat a healthy plant-based diet when they go out and have it be something of a dining experience.
And what comes to mind too, and is actually a restaurant in Chicago, Karen's on Green, and she has transformed. I mean, you would go there. the bacon lover of the world would go there and be wowed by her meal. Cincinnati has amazing food right now. Look at these restaurants in OTR and on the outskirts of the city. We're eating amazing. And so to put in this little niche vegan place, we have the people, the community, the want to eat there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I think I had a similar issue when I was starting kombucha, because I'd gone on a trip to Austin, Brooklyn, and Seattle, and kombucha's in gas stations everywhere. And you come back to Cincinnati and nobody knows what it is. Okay. So I think it's very possible to import an idea that may not be native to Cincinnati. But as long as you can talk to people in the area and see how they would receive it, I think you can find a very good way that people can be very open to the idea.
Let's talk with Michael in Springdale. Hi, Michael.
Hi there. I just had a question. I actually have already developed my brand for some time, maybe about 7 or 8 months now, where the number four ranked coconut flour on Amazon. And I was just wondering, like, with a brand that already has a name on it, how easy is that to draw out some good attributes? Like, I know we have like a Beyond Organic promise, and we don't want to put anything in our products that would hurt our customers, and we want to protect the environment. Like, how easy is it to draw those good attributes out of the product and marketing if it's not incorporated into the name already?
That's a great question. I think telling your story and getting your message out there in a clear and concise way is extremely important. And it really depends on each brand individually, but generally speaking, you can add an attribute like that to a tagline or to some key messaging on your website and your marketing materials. And you can also think about a rebrand. You know, you can think about switching up the name a little bit, or adding a different tagline. There's a lot of different things you can do with that, but
I think that's natural business involvement too. We evolved from this very simple logo to a logo that we have now that you did for us that called out that we're vegan, and we're actually launching a new, rebrand, but maybe just a new label, new packaging. We're updating it. I think growing your business, you have to keep up with what people are asking for. For us, we saw that people really wanted to see and hear more of our story because it's relatable. Our story relates to all the people. And so I think that is like a key piece of it. If you want to keep growing your business, you have to keep growing your brand.
And August, what advice would you have? What message would you have for budding entrepreneurs?
Ask people. Talk to people. One of the things that I did last summer was set up a stand at the Covington Farmers Market. And that had so much value, way beyond any sales that I could have had. I was able to talk directly to my customers, see what they wanted. And then when we were ready to grow, we took all of our learnings from just talking directly to people. We changed our logo. We changed our branding. And I think now we're in a very good place, to be able to grow our company.
So ask is the key thing that you would say.
Ask and listen.
Ask and listen. Rachel, what about you? How would you tell somebody who's...
Just do it. Is that one already taken?
No, that's good. Use it.
It's all yours. If you have a dream, it's okay. And it's okay to do the work. It's okay to work really hard. I think that if you can find support and you can ask the people and you can listen to the people, you're so right. I mean, I think that's Entrepreneur 101, right? Is really me. I'm going to say, yeah, come on. I'm a yes girl. So don't come to me if you want me to tell you no, because I won't do it. But yeah, you can do it. You can dream really big. You can have a big vision. You can meet Oprah. You can be part of the Martha Stewart American Made store. Why not?
Sure. So right? with all respect to Nike, just do it. So that's your key advice.
Yeah.
So Rachel, Patrick, and August, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Grateful Grams and Northern Kentucky Incubator kitchen owner Rachel DeRochers, Patrick McGilvray, owner of Focus 5 Design and branding designer for Grateful Grams, and Algis Akastolis, who's the owner of Skinny Pig Kombucha, one of the businesses operating in the Northern Kentucky Incubator Kitchen. Coming up next, we'll look at the changes being made at the UC Police Department. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.
Comes from the Southwest Ohio Air Quality Agency, reminding everyone to avoid idling their vehicles. An idling car is the most inefficient car on the road. It gets 0 miles per gallon and wastes money. By turning the key, you can be idle free. You can discover more air quality tips online at southwestohioair.org.
Support comes from Ulmer & Byrne, a law firm that has served corporate clients for more than 107 years and is located in downtown Cincinnati. Ulmer assists clients from individuals to global Fortune 500 in their business and litigation needs. You can discover more at ulmer.com.
Support for WVXU comes from the Charles H. Dater Foundation, enriching the lives of children in Greater Cincinnati by making grants to nonprofit organizations, including Cincinnati Therapeutic Writing, Magnified Giving, and Cincinnati Opera. More information at daterfoundation.org.